Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good morning and welcome to the show with me, Assumpta Latus. Our main stories this morning: the Burundian government cracks down on coup plotters. We hear how those under custody are faring on.
They have been beaten, they have some injuries, and they also they were in a condition that they were just sleep straight on the floor, so the conditions were not good at all.
After being pushed from occupied territories, Boko Haram strikes back in northern Nigeria.
The army took Boko Haram for granted, or they over-rejoiced or over-celebrated their short victory over Boko Haram.
And we'll be looking at the worsening security situation in South Sudan.
Top story.
We begin in Burundi, where the government has launched a manhunt for Major General Godefroid Niyombare, the military leader behind last Wednesday's attempted coup. Several plotters appeared in court this weekend, charged with wanting to overthrow the government. President Pierre Nkurunziza made his first appearance on Sunday as he seeks to reassert his authority. From Burundi's capital Bujumbura, Apollinaire Niyirora reports.
For 3 weeks, demonstrations have been taking place in several neighborhoods of the capital Bujumbura, where thousands of protesters took to the streets urging Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza to give up his bid for a third term. Tear gas, water cannons, and live bullets were used to disperse protesters who have been barricading main roads with tires and stones, as well as other used metallic objects. In the aftermath of a failed coup staged Wednesday by Major General Godefroid Niyombare, while Nkurunziza was in Tanzania to attend a regional summit on Burundi, President Nkurunziza, in a message to the nation Friday, linked protest to coup plot and gunmen's attacks at the end of 2014.
It is clear that those behind recent attacks have a strong relationship or link with those who attempted to overthrow our institutions in Kibitochi area last year through the DRC. As we often say, we've said goodbye to dictatorship rules and those who are against democracy, but there are still people who won't listen. We are committed to fight them.
Meanwhile, at least 18 mutineers arrested over their suspected participation in the failed coup plot were Saturday heard by the Attorney General. Lambert Nsabimana, lawyer of Major General Cyril Ndayirukiye, the deputy failed coup leader, deplored his client's detention conditions at the custody of the intelligence service.
About their detention conditions, they are not good at all because they have been beaten, they have some injuries, and they also they were in a condition that they were just sleep straight on the floor. They were in the same clothes since 3 or 4 days. They have been not able to take any shower or bath, so the conditions were not good at all.
Meanwhile, a lot of losses and damages have been made during the last 3 weeks of protests. Jean Kanyange, a travel agency manager who is against the third term of Burundi President Pierre Nkurunziza, said her business has gone too low.
I am against his third term for many reasons. First, as far as I am concerned, I am a businesswoman. I have spent 3 weeks without working. I closed my office and I had passengers who were supposed to travel during the last 3 weeks, but who were unable to. Personally, my business was affected. For another reason, he wants to violate the Arusha Agreement and the Burundian Constitution, and this is against the Burundian laws. La loi
burundaise. Organizers of protests, including leaders of the opposition and civil society, have gone into hiding for fearing for their security. More than 20 persons were killed during the protests against the third term bid of Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza in the presidential election due on June the 26th.
Apollinaire Niyirora in Bujumbura. The political crisis unfolding in Burundi has forced nearly 105,000 people to flee to neighboring countries. That's according to UN Refugee Agency UNHCR. Tanzania, which previously hosted Burundian refugees during the civil war, is once again being overwhelmed by people seeking refuge. UNHCR representative in Tanzania, Joyce Mentz Cole, has been telling my colleague Crispin Makideo the scope of what they are dealing with.
It is a very difficult situation, I will say, because of the place where these refugees have fled into. It is a piece of land that is partly surrounded by water, by the lake Tanganyika, and then partly by very rocky and hilly terrain, very difficult to walk there. So our problem there is how to get the people off. We have been using, as you may have heard, a German boat, which is more than 100 years old. And actually, we also used it in past years for repatriation. And some of the same people who have now fled and that we have put them on the boat this time were people who were repatriated, and we had hoped that they would have been able to restart their lives at home in Burundi and also in DRC, and that has not been the case. There is another possibility now. IOM took the lead in finding a path. It's actually really not finding it because Tanzanians use that path, but it's a very difficult path because these fisher people normally just walk a small distance of the path. But it would take 4 hours to walk from Kagunga to a place where we could pick them up with lorries and trucks. But we are trying to be sensitive to the present situation in Burundi to try to ensure that they do not view sort of large numbers of people, particularly males, who would be walking as anything, suspicious.
And what kind of stories are these refugees telling your volunteers?
As you can imagine, this was prior to the attempted coup. So the ones who come later, we're not quite sure what stories they will tell. But quite a large number of persons had been in Tanzania before and had refugee status here before. And they tell us that they know that it is those who leave early. It's a sort of preemptive flight that survive, you know, the best. So many fled probably without having been victims of direct violence, but having lived through a cycle of violence maybe before, they were very fearful. But of course, there are quite a few, many, who either witnessed violence themselves or had their friends either harassed, intimidated, beaten, or in some cases, killed.
UNHCR representative in Tanzania, Joyce Mainz-Cole. You're listening to Africa Link, live from DW in Bonn, Germany.
News, analysis, and feature reports. All that here on Africa Link.
To Nigeria now, where the Islamists are now hitting back with a string of attacks. A teenage suicide bomber killed at least 7 people in Damaturu, while the strategic border town of Marte has fallen once again to the insurgents. All this comes after hundreds of Boko Haram militants were repelled from Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State, by Nigerian soldiers and vigilante groups. From Abuja, Ben Adam Shamang with more details.
Up to last week, the Nigerian military, assisted by coalition forces from Cameroon, Chad and Niger, had recaptured almost all towns that were occupied by members of the insurgency. Only 2 weeks ago, the army said it had freed 700 kidnapped women and destroyed 20 insurgent camps. Frank Ibe, a lawyer and security expert, warns the military to avoid laxity, which he said was responsible for the fall of Marte town.
We have commended the Nigerian army for the gallantry they exhibited these few days in fighting Boko Haram, and we thought that they have pushed them outside or to a reasonable or a tight corner that the Boko Haram will not resurface in Nigeria, making way for the new incoming president to take over from where they stopped. But it appears the army took Boko Haram for granted, or they over-rejoiced or over-celebrated their short victory over Boko Haram.
Presently, the battleground has moved to the dreaded Sambisa forest, where Boko Haram is believed to be training and housing a large number of its followers and fighters. The deputy governor of Borno State, Alhaji Mustafa Zana, has warned Nigerians that Boko Haram has recruited many female suicide bombers to hit soft targets and innocent people. However, Gabriel Susuam, the governor of Benue State, Central Nigeria, said intelligence sharing by Nigeria and its allies have helped tip the balance in the fight against Boko Haram.
When Boko Haram emerged, it was a new phenomenon, and the military or the security agencies could not cope with it because nobody anticipated it. But that it took time for them to address it because they were getting together, trying to get the collaborations of some surrounding African countries who hitherto Nigeria have never had or shared intelligence with them on security issues. But now all of them are on board, and so it became easier for us to witness what we have witnessed, where we have Cameroon, Chad, and even Mali, Sudan, collaborating with Nigeria in order to fight this insurgency.
A report by Ben Adam Shemang. Still on security matters, let's cross over to South Sudan. Juba has denied accusations by the UN and East Africa's regional bloc IGAD that its soldiers have been committing a series of human rights abuses. The allegations come at a time when three international organizations, including medical charity Doctors Without Borders, MSF, have withdrawn from Unity and Upper Nile States, citing insecurity. James Shimanyula reports.
Speaking to me by telephone from the capital Juba, South Sudan's presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny dismissed as utterly untrue accusations that members of SPLA, South Sudan's government forces, are responsible for human rights abuses.
Has not committed any atrocities, simply because the role of government in South Sudan is to protect the citizens of South Sudan, as enshrined in the constitution. The government is operating under very serious conditions because the rebels want to derail peace and ceasefire.
The gravity of the security situation in South Sudan was highlighted by the head of the United Nations mission in the country, Elaine Margarethe Loe.
The security situation has further deteriorated during late April and May. An increasing number of reports indicate widespread human rights abuses, including murder, rape, and harassment of civilians, including women and children and the elderly, as well as the destruction of civilian property and livelihood.
The worsening of the security situation has forced three international aid organizations, the United Nations Humanitarian Aid Agency, as well as the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC, and Doctors Without Borders, to withdraw from the two states of Unity and Upper Nile. Paul Crishley, head of Doctors Without Borders in South Sudan, says their withdrawal could worsen the humanitarian situation.
Clearly, if international humanitarian actors do not feel secure to work in any area, the population that rely on them for food, emergency medical assistance, are at increased risk.
And the United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator for South Sudan, Toby Lancer, says they reached a decision to pull out after some of their colleagues were killed.
Since the onset of the crisis in December 2013, we've had over 15 colleagues whom we've lost. And enough is enough. We've had to withdraw because the violence was too severe. We're working with the parties to the conflict to make sure that they understand who we are and why we need to be in the field, and to seek and gain the reassurances that our staff will be safe. Once we know that, we will be ready to go back.
The world's youngest nation has not known peace since December 2013, when President Salva Kiir accused 11 prominent politicians and military personnel of plotting to topple his administration.
James Shimanyula reporting. Up next is our favorite drama series, The Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good day to you and welcome to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future stands today.
This is the fourth season entitled Facing New Challenges. And there are indeed many challenges for our friends to tackle. Marcy made a difficult choice when she decided to marry Nikki, even though he's HIV positive. And things have not been easy for them.
Nikki, my darling, I just want to understand what's going on with you. You've become so distant and withdrawn and unreasonable. What can I do to help?
When will Nikki be ready to accept his status? And how will Mercy cope? Dan, for his part, wants to move ahead with his environmental protection project. He's already tried to convince Tina to join forces with him.
I am planning to organize a group of young activists for environmental protection. And I thought you might want to join us.
I see. But what has it got to do with me?
Your radio show on women's rights is a huge success. And I thought you could add the environment to the issues that you campaign for.
On a different note, do you still remember Anita, the strong-willed, intelligent girl from the neighboring country, Laboria? Anita followed Dan to Kisimba. She also went to Bongo Academy High School, where she got to know Mercy and her friends. After school, Anita went back to Laboria. But what has she been up to since then? Let's find out in today's episode, Green is All the Rage.
Hello, Kisimba Special School. How can I help you? Yes? Yes. Okay, I'll let her know. Bye.
Excuse me, madam. I need to speak to Anita?
Dan?
What are you doing here?
I work here.
Really?
Yeah. I'm doing an internship as an assistant teacher. What are you doing here?
I came to see the director of the school. When did you come to Kisimba?
Well, I only just started.
That explains why my dad suddenly stopped calling to hassle me about marrying you.
I know, right? Both our parents are still hell-bent on getting us married. I'm glad I got this job. I'm hoping the distance is going to keep them off my back. Anyway, what did you want to see the director about?
I'm trying to rally the local community to make people more aware of the environment. I'd really like the schools in this area to start teaching children how to live in a more environmentally friendly way. And I'm planning to put together a group of young environmental activists.
Well, Dan, it does sound like an interesting plan, but I don't know how it would work. This is a school for students with special needs, right?
So what? The disabled are people too. We all live in the same environment, and the sooner all of us learn to coexist with nature, the better.
You're right. That's a very good attitude, Dan. A lot of people don't think like that, though, which I find pretty shocking. Let me see if the director's in. But just so you know, I'm interested in joining your group.
Really?
Really? I hope you have room for one more.
Actually, you just became member number 2 after me. It hasn't been easy convincing people around here.
Oh.
Thanks for dragging me out of the office, Tina.
You're welcome. So, tell me, Mrs. Jumbe, how do you like married life?
Don't call me that. It makes me feel so old.
I know it makes you feel like that crazy Mama Nikki, right?
Exactly. You know, it's nearly 3 months since Nikki and I got married and moved to the new house. And that crazy woman has still barely said a word to me.
Really? So how do you two communicate when you meet?
Don't even go there. Nikki's always insisting we go to his parents for family dinners. I dread them.
But that's not what has been distracting you, is it? How is Linda?
Linda's okay. But it's my husband I'm worried about.
Nikki, yeah, you mentioned last time we spoke. How is he?
Nothing much has changed. Sometimes I ask myself if I did the right thing marrying him.
Did you go and see the counselor Margaret again, like I told you?
I want to, but...
But what, Mercy? This is no joking matter.
I know, Tina. I don't know. Nikki's not very approachable at the moment. I don't know how to deal with him.
Listen to me, Mercy. Nikki needs your support right now. It's even harder for him than it is for you. You have to be the strong one for him. Look, if he won't go, you should talk to Counselor Margaret on your own first. I can come with you if you like.
So, welcome to our school, Danka... Manyar, you say?
Kanyama, sir. Dan Kanyama.
Quite a strange name you've got there. You're not from around here, are you?
No, I come from Laboria, but I went to school here in Kisimba.
I see. So tell me, what is it you wanted to see me about?
I'm planning to organize a group of young environmental activists here in Kisimba, and I was wondering whether you could help.
Environmental? What do you mean?
Well, you see, I live in the Tandika slums. The city's biggest garbage dump is in Tandika. and as you know, it borders this school to the west.
Yeah, and?
I am approaching local communities and institutions to rally support. I want to get the government to move the garbage dump away from where people live, because it's the biggest cause of communicable diseases in this area.
That seems like an admirable idea, Dan. But as you can see, I'm not all that young. I don't think I'll qualify to be in your group.
Not you yourself, Mr. Director. Your students.
Oh, my students?
Yes.
You know this is a special school, don't you? All the students here have some kind of disability.
Yes, I know that. But I think that's all the more reason to get them involved. Because as well as saving the environment, the students would also be helping to change perceptions in society. After all, having a disability doesn't mean you can't do anything.
Interesting. What would they be involved in?
Just clean-up activities. And those who can't get involved physically could help by educating people, talking to them about what we are doing.
I'll tell you what. I'm very impressed by this idea, Dan. Kanyama. Let me discuss it with my staff and then I'll let you know, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
One of six, one of seven. Who is it? Is that you, wifey?
Yes, it's me.
Ah.
Exercising in the kitchen, are we?
Yup. Only place I could find with enough space. Hey, come over here. Give me a kiss. I love you, Mercy. Okay? I'm sorry I've been behaving like such an idiot lately.
Somebody's in a good mood. What happened?
Nothing, just...
Hey, and what's this? A fridge. A very old new fridge. Where did it come from?
I'm sorry. It's all I could afford. I bought it secondhand for my lovely wife. You keep saying you want a fridge, so here you go.
Well, thank you, Nikki. As long as it works, who needs a new one? What the... What's this?
Mangoes.
You filled the whole fridge with mangoes, Nikki? Why?
Just trying to follow the counselor's instructions.
Instructions about what?
Change of lifestyle, eating healthily, and exercising.
Nikki, the counselor didn't say you should only eat mangoes. I mean, you're studying nutrition. You should know better than that.
I do. It's just that mangoes are going out of season, and I like mangoes, so I wanted to stock up on... Stop laughing and help me pick them up.
Oh, Nikki, you're such a fool sometimes. But I love you. And I really like the way you're dealing with this now. It's so much better than sulking all the time.
Just shut up now, okay?
Oh, that's better. At least there's some laughter in the young couple's household. Is Nikki's good mood going to last? Find out next time on Crossroads Generation. We'll also see how Dan's environmental protection group takes shape. Don't forget to visit our webpage dw.de/LBE for Nikki's video diary and much more. You can also send us an email to lbe@dw.de or follow us on Facebook. Until next time, bye!
And now a quick summary of our main stories. A manhunt is underway for Burundian coup plotter Major General Godefroy Niyombare. Boko Haram has increased its attacks in northern Nigeria after the military pushed it out of most towns. And three international humanitarian organizations have pulled out of South Sudan, citing worsening security situation. For more African stories, visit our website dw.de/Africa. And for questions or comments on this program, send us a text message to +491 6095759510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW53110, Bonn, Germany. And that's all from me, Asunta Latus, for today. Thanks for listening and goodbye.